Oh, it smells really good in the studio right now.
Stacey, why does it smell like chicken in here?
That is a great question. And the reason is our show today. It is part of my explainer. So every day, our NPR colleagues have to explain whatever complicated business story of the day there is in these really short segments on the radio, sometimes just a couple of minutes. And we have this luxury of time on our podcast. We can take a little bit longer to explain things, but we wanted to see if we could do this. We wanted to see if we could do podcasts on the radio.
I'm betting against us.
Anyway, in order to see if we could, like, stack up to our amazingly talented radio colleagues, Cardiff, you and I both picked a business story that we thought was really interesting, and we wanted to see if we could explain it in 2 minutes.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform blending purpose and profit. Invest in high-growth companies improving the world without checking your values at the door. Claim a $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/money.
Okay, so for my presentation, I brought a visual aid.
Oh, my God. So we should tell our listeners, there is an enormous bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken on the studio table right now.
I know. It smells good.
It smells delicious. Anyways, yes. Back to the original question, Stacey.
The original
why
question?
Why is there all this chicken and side dishes in the studio?
I'm so glad you asked, Cardiff. The reason that there is chicken in the studio today is you might think that this chicken is just chicken you could pick up anywhere. But in fact, this is a rare commodity. This chicken bucket. Yes. Because in the UK last week, you could not get this bucket of chicken. It was what has become known as Chicken Gate.
Okay. And that is going to be your 2 minute explainer. Okay. Ready? And
okay.
3, 2, 1, buy the biscuit and go.
Okay, Cardiff. So last week, hundreds of KFC restaurants in the UK ran out of chicken. KFC had no chicken. So to explain this, there are a couple things that you should know about KFC. Number one, they don't freeze their chicken. They chill their chicken, but it's always fresh. This is part of their brand. So they get their chicken from farms in Ireland and England for all of their restaurants in the UK. There are about 900 of them.
Local, fresh.
Yes. Thing number two that you don't know about KFC is that they recently switched distribution companies. So this company called Bidvest used to deliver all of KFC's chicken, but now they just switched to this company called DHL. And the reason they switched to DHL was that DHL was promising a more efficient delivery system. And places like KFC, they have honed their supply chains down to this science. They're incredibly lean, incredibly well choreographed to get all of this fresh chicken to 900 different restaurants. And they do this all over the world, right? So they have this consistent product. But the problem is when you hone something down that much, if there's one glitch in the supply chain, a problem happens like now. And in fact, DHL only had one distribution center for the UK and something happened. We're not sure what, but it prevented chicken from being delivered to hundreds of restaurants.
No backup.
And this is interesting because, like, restaurants all over the world are doing this kind of thing. And this really shows a vulnerability in that system. The same thing that allowed them to get so big is the same thing that makes them vulnerable to things like this. And in fact, there's been a lot of speculation that things like Brexit could cause disruptions because, you know, these are very highly regulated industries, the food industry. And so things like Chickengate could happen going forward with Brexit. And 3, 2, 1.
Hey, you got there. Did you have more to say? You can go into the bonus time if you want.
The bonus material is this ad, which KFC put up in Britain's subway, the tube.
It says FCK on a bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
Which if you spell it all out or if you pronounce those three syllables, you get, you know.
What FCK is.
Yeah. KFC FCK'd up.
And they just say, we're sorry. A chicken restaurant without any chicken, it's not ideal. Huge apologies to our customers. Anyway, they're promising to get chicken to the people now.
Now it is my turn to do a 2-minute-ish explainer. And mine is about productivity growth. What is it and why is it maybe the single most important indicator in all of economics?
Whoa, man.
Yes.
The thing I know about productivity growth is that everyone's been talking about how it's been really bad lately.
It has been growing at its slowest pace since the late 1800s. That's how bad it's got.
That sounds bad.
It's really bad. And
now, are we lazy? Is it Netflix?
Not at all. Not at all.
I'm really
going to tell you what's
going on. Are
you
going to answer this question, the most important question in economics, in 2 minutes?
Indeed.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
Are you ready?
Yes.
3, 2, 1.
So, productivity is just a measure of how efficient people are at work. And specifically, it measures how much are people getting done for each hour that they work. Now, look, like the modern workplace is complicated. Like, it's hard to measure how much one specific person gets done in one specific hour. So right now, Stacey, you and I are recording this in the studio. Was that more valuable than what we did last hour when, like, Darius was picking up Kentucky Fried Chicken and you were thinking about how to script your part and I was scripting my part? Who knows? It's kind of hard to say. So, the way to measure productivity is by looking at the whole economy. So we know that each year the economy produces like all this stuff, a lot of goods, a lot of services. And when you take that number and you divide it by the total number of hours that Americans work, that number is productivity. And how much that number changes from year to year is productivity growth. So it's a measure of how much more efficient American workers are this year versus last year. And the reason it's such a big deal is that American workers have to become more efficient each year in order to justify getting paid more, right? So in order to raise their living standards, they have to become more efficient at the office. Well, at the level of the whole economy, we now have to answer the question, how does productivity grow faster? So more training and education for workers is one thing. Companies investing money in better equipment and tools and office space and all the stuff that helps you do your job is another way. And there's a third and kind of mysterious component that reflects how much better technology is becoming. And this is impossible to measure directly. And this is kind of the most astonishing thing about productivity growth. Economists don't actually know exactly what causes it. But I can at least leave you with a note of optimism because I think there's a couple of reasons to think that maybe productivity growth is about to improve. First, unemployment has come way down, which means that there are fewer workers to hire for each job. And that means that companies might actually start investing more in the equipment and factories and the stuff that helps people do their jobs better. My time is up, but I am going to keep plowing right into the bonus time to give you the second reason that I think we should all be a little bit more optimistic about what's going to happen with productivity growth, which is that there are very long lags between the arrival of these new technologies and when those technologies become valuable to most people. So think of like driverless cars, right? They're this amazing invention and they exist already. But it's not like we're all riding a driverless car to work every day. But someday we actually might. It's just that the economy and society, frankly, need a little bit of time to accommodate them, to build the infrastructure for them, to prepare everyone for this big change. So yes, we've just gone through this long period of very slow productivity growth, but that doesn't mean it'll last forever. Stop!
And I was 33 seconds over.
Yeah, I went 33 seconds into the bonus time. I guess I was not as productive as I should have been.
Send us an email. Let us know if you have an idea for a 2-Minute Explainer or, more crucially, who you thought won this round of 2-Minute Explainers. We're hopefully going to get better at this and try again soon.
Two 2-Minute Explainers, neither of which stayed under 2 minutes.
No. This podcast, by the way, is produced by Darius Rafieyan and edited by Patty Hirsch.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Swell Investing, an impact investing platform that identifies high-growth companies solving today's biggest environmental and social challenges. Claim your $50 bonus through swellinvesting.com/money.